Good, good. Well, you know, I actually have never really attempted to play music, but, you know, I do consider myself a musician of the mind. And today I have with me a very special player, Mr. Billy Harper. How you doing, Billy?
Hey, how you doing, Roy?
I'm doing very well. Yourself?
Fine, fine. Good to talk to you.
Oh, man, it's great to talk to you as well. You know, as we mentioned off phone, I should say, you know, I always really try to talk to the cats that are really putting it out there. You know, not everybody always gets the publicity that so many folks get, but there's a lot of beautiful music out there, and we need to hear it all and hear from you all.
Good, good.
Well, you know, it's so interesting that Texas produces some of the most talented musicians. I mean, these days I know so many great drummers from Texas, but, you know, back in the day it was players like Ornette Coleman and Prince Lachey, as well as so many others doing the Texas blues thing.
Yeah.
How rich was the musical environment when you were coming up there?
Oh, it was very, very strong. But when I was coming up, I didn't really realize that there was such a strong lineage of Texas jazz musicians. I just simply heard so many in my wherever I was. And I just thought that, okay, well, you know, you got a lot of saxophonists here for one thing, and you got a lot of good musicians. I came up listening to Ornette Cobb, and I was in I call it Houston now, but Houston, Houston, and Dallas. So I mean, I listened to Dickie Boy Lilly. You might not have a lot of people probably haven't even heard of some of those fantastic musicians. I mean, great Don Wilkerson. Don played with Ray Charles a lot, and he usually played blues style with Ray Charles, but he was a whirlwind on the saxophone and jazz.
Wow.
Oh yeah, he was heavy, and there really are a large number of jazz saxophonists from Texas. I heard Illinois Jacquet there, and I thought he was from Chicago. Illinois Jacquet, you know.
Right.
In Dallas, you had James Clay. That was my main man, James Clay. And in the Dallas area, too, we had some very heavy players. Claude Johnson was playing. Red Garland was from Dallas also. And Red Garland, we talked together in Texas. He said, come on up. I'm gonna bring you to New York, he said. I'll get you a job with Miles.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then there was, in Fort Worth, you still had, like you said, Ornette Coleman, Julius Hemphill, Dewey Redmond. Dewey and Julius were playing strict bop at that time, very, very strong bop. And then, you know, later, of course, they got much freer, both of them.
Well, I like my bop strong, and I like my bop free, man.
yeah, there you go. But, there were always heavy players around.
Yeah, you mentioned so many cats. I mean, I know a couple of them, Don Wilkerson and James Clay, but there's so many. The Dickie Boy cat,
has never been on
the radar for me.
Yeah, and Johnny Fontanette. I mean, this is really a whole line of them. And also, before I even knew them, there were others who were playing the blues. I was playing blues when I was 16 and, you know, making gigs, making money and stuff, and I thought, yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
I had a lot more to learn, but still.
Well, you know, on one of my last trips to Chicago, I know you mentioned that, mentioning Illinois Jacquet's name, I got a chance to check you out on stage with the Cookers Band, you know, one that was stacked with a number of esteemed individuals that have made, you know, great contributions to the music. How long has that group been playing together, and is it a collective band, or is it just led by a couple of individuals?
No, it's sort of a collective thing, but we have been playing together for a few years. I think the idea came about from the album that was recorded called The Cookers, sort of a battle between Lee Morgan and Freddie Hubbard.
Yeah.
And this was recorded in Brooklyn, La Machelle. The album was called The Cookers, and it was among jazz aficionados. I mean, that was one of the heavy albums that people like to remember, and since I played with Lee Morgan and some of the others played with Hubbard, then they decided to put the band together called the Cookers.
Well, you know, Freddie, man, I talked to Freddie too, and he's definitely a cooker. He's actually having this Thursday a 70th birthday party, so hopefully we'll get a chance to hear him cook a little bit too.
But,
you know,
great.
They still have a place in Brooklyn called Night of the Cookers. I think they're doing that. I mean, it's obviously nothing compared to Freddie and Lee, but they do have something over there called Night of the Cookers, so I guess the fire's still burning.
Yeah, that's good, man. And Freddie, 70, that's great.
I know, man. That's beautiful. You're listening to Billy Harper right here on the show live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM, KRML, Jazz and Blues Radio, on the Four Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. Well, you know, I visited Chicago not too long ago, actually, and there's quite a big... Well, I was invited to a Polish jazz festival there. It was almost like being in another country, you know, quite an exciting scene. And you're doing something with Polish musicians as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I actually go there quite often. And one of my last DVDs was recorded in Poland with my group and a big 60-piece choir, 60-piece Polish choir. Yeah. So, they have a great appreciation and some very good musicians there. Very good.
Yeah. Well, creating a signature on an instrument is not, it's something that most musicians don't really set out to do, but after a long period of time of pumping out great music, something becomes recognizable in that sound. And, you know, you could definitely hear when Billy Harper is playing. But what do you think most folks would familiarize themselves with when they hear your music?
Let's see. I don't know. I think I've had other people say and then heard others comment about the music. They say something about, and I think that also I'm always trying to be strictly down the line about the truth in creating the music, about the creativity of the music. So. Many people have said something about the sound. You know, there's a certain sound or something that they know my particular sound. And I like to have a very strong, hard sound. I mean, it's just kind of natural. That's the way I hear it, so
right.
That's the way it comes out. They've equated it with something that's a searing kind of, piercing kind of thing, I guess. And that's also part of my thing. You know, that's what I've heard in my head, I guess, and that's the way I feel it when I play. That might be the signature thing. One of them, anyway.
Well, yeah. You know, one of the most important things that you mentioned, and I talk about it all the time as well, is the truth in the music, man. And as long as you are playing the truth, you're doing the right thing.
That's right. That's right. That's the way I feel about it. I actually feel it seems that I might be able to do something else, but I'm not sure. I always feel that if I do something else that's not, and I'm not honestly doing the truth, I might not be able to play afterwards. So I just stay straight to the truth. And that means that most of the times when I write something or when I am going to play, it's hopefully trying to be in tune with the creator that gives me this gift. And so sometimes I've written tunes that only come when they come. I don't try to fix them up or anything. They come, and then I just write it down.
Well, you know, jazz music is not perfect music. Nobody wants to hear jazz music played perfectly. They just want to hear it organically and the truth in the music, so that's the best way to do it.
That is.
Yeah. You know, there's so many musicians that were members of the Art Blakey Institute for Music. What is a special moment that you remember from being a part of that experience with Art Blakey?
You know, I there were so many moments. but for me, you know, one of the greatest moments in there, and I was just, I'd just gotten to New York, and I was pretty soon, after 6 months, I was playing with Gil Evans and Art Blakey. Mm. And one of the heaviest moments for me was when Art said, he said, "Billy," and you know, you talk like that, "Billy, you know, I'm your favorite fan." So, I say, "What?"
That's great.
I'm just a little boy, man. I mean, you know, a little kid who just got to New York, and I was just elated.
Yeah.
And from that point on, I was definitely on top of everything.
And, you know, there's so much love in this music. music amongst the musicians. And when somebody like an Art Blakey says something like that to a youngin, he knew what he was doing.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it worked.
Well, that's great, man.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of great drummers, I mean, you play with a few others, too, besides Art. Mac, Elvis, three of the most powerful and influential driving forces in the business.
That's right. Elvin and Max.
Right.
Yes, sir.
I mean, these cats must have pushed the music so far out there, but, you know, you're always able to deliver.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they were icons, really, you know. They are icons in the jazz world, and they played in such a way that it definitely demanded your attention, but also your respect. There's no way to get around a concert with any of those drummers without really falling into the music. You had to.
Yeah.
They were masters of the drums, but also the drive that they had. It seems like. You have some of the drummers still doing that, but it seems like a whole different level in some ways. But I suppose they were very impressed with the fact that they had matured to the level of being a master drummer, and they were going to play like that every time it's time to play.
Yeah.
So that's what happened.
You're listening to Billy Harper on the show Live with the Jazz Cat. I'm Leroy Downs, your host. And it's on 1410 AM, KRML, Jazz and Blues Radio, on the Four Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. You know, many musicians' musical beginnings start with the church. The church or the church.
The church, yeah.
Depending on, you know, where you come from. This isn't too unfamiliar with you as well. I mean, the spirit always seems to be the intangible connection to creativity and expressing it.
Yeah, of course. Without a doubt, I thought one time of trying to keep up with and find out how many of the musicians, and in fact, a lot of the pianists seem to have been connected to the church. And, my grandfather was a minister, so I came up in church. My grandmother was the real driving force, and so I was there all the time. But during those times, as much as I got tired of being there and wanted to get out, I was getting the most important information and the most important development of spirit that a person could get, especially for playing or creating music. I mean, I heard some of the most fantastic singers, and the spirit of the music and the groove. That was a groove in church, in the black church. That was a groove also. The groove was right there. And I just didn't, you know, I was so small. It was just seeping in, but I didn't quite know. But I knew I dug that music. And before I knew it, by the time I got older, the stuff just came natural.
Yeah.
You know, and it was there. It had soaked right in.
It's just like a natural vortex. It just opens up to the universe, man, and it pours right down into you, you know, all that good music.
Oh, yeah. I hope they... can keep, you know, a lot of times nowadays, you know, you might not have that same kind of presentation of the music, but I think that as long as you have gospel choirs and people who can really sing, I mean, in my church and around that area, you had people like Donnie Hathaway, that kind of sound.
Oh my goodness!
I mean, yeah, really, and you know, they may not ever have recorded, you may not even have known about them, but they sang that way, so that's what I was around. Oh yeah.
Well, you know, as an instructor, I mean, you actually have hands-on experience with some of the up-and-coming artists in the jazz world, and they haven't even encountered them yet. What are some of the basic philosophies that you instill in your students, and who, in your estimation, will we be looking for in the near future?
Well, you know, they're always good and upcoming musicians. Sometimes nowadays, since knowledge is so available and so automatic in a way. Sometimes they, as students, get into the knowledge and to the notes or the whatever they're learning. So they might get away from the feeling that we were talking about in relation to the church.
Right.
That they might get. So it gets to be a little bit academic in a lot of cases. They're playing and they may be just a little different because they're not going through the same thing that some of the older musicians went through, I guess.
Right.
And that's really what's needed. The old cats used to call it paying dues.
Right.
Nowadays, I mean, you can go to school and you don't have to pay any dues. You pay the dues to school, but not to the music. You know.
Well, life is a stage for music, and these cats are young, and they need to get out there and experience that stage along with the academic to really make it.
Oh, yeah, they need to know something about that. But there are a lot of good young musicians. Robert Glasper is also from Houston, and he's an up-and-coming great musician also. He went to New School as well.
Yeah, we spoke with Robert earlier on, and Eric Harlan's a great drummer. He's from
Right. Eric's from Houston also.
Yeah. I'm telling you. Something in the water.
Yeah. There's something there.
Well, man, it's been great talking to you, but before we go, I just wanted to see who are the members of your current band and what new endeavors, philosophies, or visions you're experimenting with the music.
Well, the members of the group are Francesca Tanksley. She's been there for a long time on piano. And Keon Harold, he also went to New School. He's from St. Louis. Keon's on trumpet. And Aaron Scott is on drums. Aaron played a lot with McCoy Tyner.
Right.
And Clarence C. on bass.
Great.
So we've also recorded a new album that's coming out soon. I did something with something that involved Amiri Baraka. So we have the spoken word on some of those as well as the instrumental things. This will be a new thing that's coming.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I'm always trying to make people think of the connection to the music. So there's the album is called Amazing Grace, by the way. It will be called Amazing Grace whenever it comes out. And on it, we're doing a thing called Africa Revisited. So I'm trying to get people to think about the Africa thing. It relates a little bit to Trains Africa, but this time it's revisited and it has words. Mm. These words are explaining where the music comes from. You know, the way Amiri would do his kind of thing. On top of this kind of thing, it's interesting, very interesting.
Sure it is, man.
Yeah, Africa with a revisitation of a verbal explanation in time, in rhythm, you know.
All poetry in the music.
Yes.
We can't wait to hear it, man. Thanks so much for coming on today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
You got it, man. Billy Harper right here on Live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM KRML, Jazz and Blues Radio on the Four Locals Only Show with Mr. Gary Hamada.